Hey, everybody. Mike Davis joins the program for some breaking news from Elise Stefanik regarding trying to have a bar complaint, a legal complaint against Jack Smith. And then the great replacement is very real. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter at tpusa.com. Become a member today at members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com to listen to all of our episodes advertiser-free. Members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Lara Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message, we play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
Joining us now is Mike Davis. Mike, welcome to the program, Article 3 Project. Mike, you have a busy season right now. In the era of lawfare, Mike Davis is in high demand. Mike, tell us about this Elise Stefanik letter. Why is this not just a typical Congress do-nothing letter? Where is the zing here? What is the spice to this letter?
This is a very important letter by Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, who is the number four in House Republican leadership. It's to the Office of Professional Responsibility at the Justice Department. And their job at OPR is to monitor their own lawyers within the department to make sure that they're following the Justice Department's rules, regulations, and ethics. And as Elise Stefanik laid out in her complaint, Jack Smith is clearly violating the Justice Department rules because he is intentionally trying to interfere in the election, the presidential election on November 5th, 2024. And he thinks he's being sly about it, but Elise Stefanik lays out in this complaint how he's not, how he must be held accountable. And it may not happen by the Biden Justice Department, who's clearly going to coddle Jack Smith, but I'll tell you, as someone who clerked on the Supreme Court, I imagine that the Supreme Court justices and their law clerks are going to see this letter and read this letter in the news, and it's going to help inform their opinions on Jack Smith and this bogus politicized and weaponized prosecutions by Jack Smith and so many others, especially as the Supreme Court considers presidential immunity before the end of June. Let me just give you a couple examples from Elise's letter. Jack Smith, the Biden Justice Department and Jack Smith waited 30 months to bring these unprecedented charges against President Trump. And then the Biden White House and the Biden Justice Department colluded with other prosecutors like Fannie Willis and Alvin Bragg on their prosecutions, along with the civil fraud prosecution with Tish James in New York. And then even though Jack Smith has like 13 million pages of documents and thousands of hours of videotape related to the January 6th protest that turned into a riot, Jack Smith asked for a trial date within like 5 months, which is just absurd if you know anything about federal prosecutions, right? And it was obvious to jam this trial during the election season. And then also Jack Smith made this extraordinary petition to the Supreme Court that the Supreme Court and only the Supreme Court could hear presidential immunity, and the Supreme Court must skip the routine appellate process through the D.C. Circuit. Well, the Supreme Court said, no, go through the D.C. Circuit. The D.C. Circuit ruled for Jack Smith on presidential immunity. President Trump filed for a cert petition with the Supreme Court to review the D.C. Circuit ruling. And then Jack Smith did a 180 on his position 2 months later and said, oh, no, the Supreme Court doesn't need to hear this case. The D.C. Circuit has it handled, after Jack Smith said only the D.C. Circuit can hear such a monumental case like presidential immunity. Elise Stefanik provides the receipts showing that what Jack Smith is doing is election interference, it's lawfare, and it's clearly in violation of Justice Department rules.
So Mike, help me understand an ethics complaint, just as an outsider and as a cynic to all things D.C., this sounds like a 3 to 5 year process. Why is this? What is the goods here? What can we expect to come out of this? Is there a review board? Because from my understanding, ethics complaints can take a long time to remedy.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this, that these letters, these complaints actually work, right? We saw that during the Kavanaugh confirmation when my boss, then Chairman Chuck Grassley, did the four criminal referrals on the obstruction campaign and the lies around the Kavanaugh confirmation. It was a shot across the bow. It makes these Democrat operatives back down, right? And what could happen with Jeffrey Ragsdale, who's the counsel at the Office of Professional Responsibility, if he does his job under the regulations, he has to look at this and move forward to gather evidence and potentially have a hearing on this. And if he doesn't, he's going to be subjected to congressional oversight of his own. I know that my former boss, Chuck Grassley, the Senate Judiciary Committee, I know that House Republicans, they can send oversight letters. They can send subpoenas for records. They can send subpoenas for documents. And this is important. Like the Democrats, the Biden Democrats have felt almost zero resistance over the last nearly 2 years since the unprecedented, unnecessary and unlawful home raid. And they've on Trump for records he's allowed to have under the Presidential Records Act. And they've felt emboldened by this. And they've just had the Democrat attorney general who stole the election in Arizona by disenfranchising voters on election day, right, just indict another round of Trump defendants and named Trump as an unindicted co-conspirator. They're walking through these Democrats are walking through an open door because these Republican politicians have not put up a fight. And I'm very, very happy that Elise Stefanik, who's the number four in the House Republican leadership, is putting up a fight. It sends a powerful message. She's done judicial misconduct complaints in the past against judges. These Democrat judges who have taken off their robes and climbed into the political arena. And it's important that these Democrat operatives, whether they're in robes or in the Justice Department, get pushback by these elected representatives in Congress.
So Mike, I want to emphasize here the New York case. Donald Trump is currently in the courtroom with this lawfare that they're throwing at him repeatedly. Rachel Maddow has a thought here, and I don't know if you saw this clip. It's a minute long where she is, again, she's not a good person, but she might make an interesting point here, and I want you to react to it. Play cut 71.
That's kind of a wild take on this, and it is this. If I were Trump, I would plead guilty. I would try to plead it on down to a single count if I could, pay the fines, take the business punishment or whatever, do the, 5 minutes of jail time, call yourself a martyr for it, raise a lot of money. You'll have Secret Service in there. You'll be fine. But if you did that, you could make this thing come to an end. You could shorten this process. You could get out of that courtroom and get back on the campaign trail. You could avoid the punishment of having to show up for court every day. This is likely the only one of his trials that's happening before Election Day. If he gets out and campaigns and runs the campaign he wants to, he'll be president in November, he'll be president-elect as of November, and then all the trials will go away anyway. I know it's a wild take, but if he doesn't pull that ripcord, if he doesn't change his plea to guilty, if he sticks it out at trial, this is going to be another 6 weeks more. How much worse is this going to get for him?
So, Mike, we have to understand who's saying that. Why does she want him to plea down? That makes you kind of think. Mike Davis, your reaction.
It's because this case by Soros-funded Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg and former top Biden political appointee Matthew Colangelo and this Democrat judge Juan Merchan, who donated to Biden and whose adult daughter Lauren Merchan is raising tens of millions of dollars off this case. This case is backfiring spectacularly on Joe Biden and Democrats. It's making Trump stronger. And that the Democrats thought they were going to weaken Trump by keeping him in a courtroom for 2 months. They're turning him into a legend. They're going to turn him into Nelson Mandela if they try to put Trump in prison. I actually dare them to put Trump in prison.
So let me understand, Mike. It's unlikely that any of the other cases are going to come to trial before November. Is that still the case?
I think that's the case, because what you're going to see with the Supreme Court, they're going to rule probably at the end of June that the president of the United States, any president of the United States, has immunity from criminal prosecution for their official acts, not their personal acts. I've been saying this for over a year and people thought I was crazy. Well, it sounds like at least five, maybe six justices agree with me, because I tend to be right. And what's going to happen is it's going to be sent back down to D.C. Obama judge Tanya Shutkin, and she's going to have an evidentiary hearing to figure out what Jack Smith alleged that Trump did in his personal capacity versus what he did in his presidential capacity. For example, you can't fire the acting attorney general unless you're the president of the United States, and that's in Jack Smith's complaint because he's a moron. So then what's going to happen is once she has that evidentiary hearing, that's going to be immediately appealable again to the D.C. Circuit and even the Supreme Court if she doesn't get that right. And so the bottom line is there's very little chance that Jack Smith January 6th case gets to trial before November 5th, 2024, or even January 20th, 2025. And Trump's new acting attorney general can dismiss the case with prejudice on day one. You're going to see down in Georgia with the Fulton County case, there's also presidential immunity involved. And so same deal there. It's not going to get resolved likely before the election. With the presidential records case in front of Judge Eileen Cannon in Georgia, you're dealing with a lot of discovery, a lot of issues that could get to trial before the election, but it's doubtful. But what the good thing about the trial down in Florida is Judge Eileen Cannon is not a partisan Democrat hack. And so she's going to do what judges are supposed to do, which is to make sure the criminal defendant actually gets a fair trial, unlike these other judges. And so it seems like the only case that's going to get to trial is the one that we're in week three of right now, which is Judge Merchan's trial in New York for the non-felony of a businessman settling a nuisance claim. And somehow that turned into campaign finance felonies.
So, Mike, there's an example you want to bring up from Kavanaugh. Can you walk us through that one and break it down for the audience?
Yeah, I mean, so then Chairman Chuck Grassley did a criminal referral for Michael Avenatti and Julie Swetnick because they were lying to the committee, allegedly, and they were obstructing the committee's investigation. And I'll tell you, I was the lead staffer. I was the chief counsel for nominations. I helped the Republicans win that fight, right? And what we saw before Grassley did that criminal referral was we saw that the Democrat senators and the Democrat staff were waging all-out warfare on Kavanaugh, and his nomination was going to go down, right? Until Grassley did that criminal referral, and they realized, those Democrats realized, oh, crap, we're not just being jerks politically. We actually could be violating federal law on obstruction of a committee investigation by doing what they're doing. And they backed down immediately. It went from like a jailhouse riot to a church service overnight within seconds after Grassley did that criminal referral. And that's the point of what these members of Congress should be doing, like what Elise just did with this OPR complaint on Jack Smith. Look, Republicans think if we don't have a case with a bow on it, if we can't win it at trial and it's not upheld on appeal and by the Supreme Court, it's not worth pursuing. That is a stupid mindset. This is how we get our butts kicked every day on lawfare, because Republicans have that mindset. We need people who know how to fight asymmetrical warfare, that we know how to do lawfare. That's what we're doing at the Article 3 Project. That's what people like Elise Stefanik and MTG have been doing. Other Republicans need to step up and start helping with this, because these are republic-ending tactics by these Biden Democrats, the Biden White House, the Biden Justice Department, Biden himself, these Democrat prosecutors, and they've walked through an open door for over 21 months. It's time for House Republicans to get smart and get tough.
Mike Davis, excellent work as always. Thank you so much. Deeply appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Charlie Kirk, and I know a lot of you have been suffering under the Biden economy. Recently, school loan payments have been reinstated, and for many, it's adding thousands to their monthly expenses. My friends, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, they're amazing. They really helped me through a tough situation recently. They've been excellent. They're ethical. They're just really great people. They're followers of Jesus Christ, and our worldviews are the same. I love them. And so please go to andrewandtodd.com. Interest rates are coming down, and they may be able to lower your overall payment. In fact, one of our team members said, Charlie, is it time to me to own a home? I sat down. I went through the numbers. I said, get in the owner game. Honestly, enough renting. You are burning your money renting. It might be a little bit more to own, but you're building equity. That's money you'll have for the rest of your life. Perhaps a reverse mortgage is a perfect solution. It's about expertise you could trust in times like this. I can't tell you how helpful they've been for me personally. They've just been excellent. Andrew and Todd, I'm honored to call them friends. We hang out when I go to Orange County together. They're really great. So say, Charlie sent me, 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. They helped me through a mortgage situation recently that was super complex and moving pieces, and it was really, really tough. And other banks, by the way, wanted nothing to do with it, and they crushed it for me. 10 out of 10. AndrewandTodd.com. So check it out right now, AndrewandTodd.com. Okay, joining us now, a very important guest, Wade Miller, Vice President, the Center for Renewing America, all about the Great Replacement origins and embrace of a theory. Wade, welcome to the program. Break it down for our audience.
Thanks for having me. So, you know, we've been looking at this issue for a long time, and there's a lot of conversations that go on, and there's a lot of fringe ideas. And it occurred to me, you know, not long ago, and I know that you and others have talked about this in the past, that, you know, there is this fringe theory on the extreme right that doesn't want brown people to come to America. And then there's the left, who institutionally across the board has a also similarly racist viewpoint on immigration, and also wants power politics and wants to use immigration policy for partisan advantage. And then there's the rest of the country, which is where we lie. And so we wrote this paper to kind of expose the mainstream left's viewpoint of replacing basically a certain segment of our population, us, and then juxtapose that against a similarly radical and racist viewpoint of the right, and then kind of provided a landing spot for how we should talk about it, which is, I don't care what your race is. I care about the composition of this country culturally. Do you want to embrace the founding ideals? Do you want to, do you believe in free speech, Second Amendment, and all of these other things? The left wants to erase that portion of our culture because they want power politics. And then they also, there's an element within that element that is essentially anti-white, and they do not hide this. And in this paper, you know, we go in great detail to kind of outline this sentiment. And there's another book out by Jeremy Carl. It's The Unprotected Class, and it goes into, it just focuses on the left's obsession with anti-white racism. And as you will agree, all racism is wrong. And on the right, there's this small fringe that has these viewpoints. And on the left, it's mainstream. But anytime you or I want to talk about immigration policy and the left's open border policies and how they're trying to reshape this country, they try to pigeonhole us into being Nazis and fascists and, you know, alt-right white supremacists. You know, I have a disdain for both of those viewpoints. And I think that the average American, you know, I'm on text threads with Marine buddies of mine that I served with, you know, Black, Hispanic, they're all MAGA. They all support President Trump. They all have similar views on the border. Our viewpoints on this are not racist. We just love America, and we want an immigration policy that serves the interests of the citizenry of this country, not based on race essentialism, but based on Are you going to be a productive member of the society? Do we need immigration right now? Sometimes the answer is going to be yes. Sometimes the answer is going to be no. But having that conversation, the left gets away with this grand scheme where they get to accuse us of racism while institutionally embracing it whole cloth.
So I want to zero in on part of this here, because part of it is the crime of noticing. And we notice that they are trying to replace a native-born population with a third-world population. That's not a racial thing. It's just that you're bringing in people that don't share our cultural norms, practices, or traditions, that you're flooding the system, mass chaos, no time for assimilation. And there has been, you couple that with anti-white sentiment, which I totally agree. I think all bigotry is wrong and evil and reprehensible. And but they're very clear about this. In fact, we can get the Castro brothers video, Ryan, where they bragged on CBS Face the Nation, Texas will become a left-wing state, a Democrat state, because of the mass importation of people. But it's that old Michael Anton saying, it's not happening, but it's good that it is, which is that you're not allowed to notice that American-born citizens are being replaced by third-worlders and foreigners, but it's good that it's happening. Wait.
Absolutely. So Michael Anton calls that the celebration parallax, which is exactly what you just said, which is that the left knows it's happening, but if you call them out on it, then they'll call you a racist. And at the same time, they advocate for the very thing that you're calling them out on, and they don't hide it. And in the paper, we go into great detail. We got some really great quotes in there from Ibram X. Kendi, where he just lays out his resentment for white people and how they want to replace white people in this country. There's other people from Politico, Center for American Progress. We've got quotes from all over the center left spectrum where they actively admit that part of their immigration policy is they want to change the makeup of this country. And again, there's two camps. One is inherently just anti-white. And then there's a more kind of establishmentarian argument on this, which is just power politics. They don't care what your skin color is, as long as you're hostile to the American founding and the founding principles, they want you to come here. And this is what underlies all of their immigration policy. This is why they want to pretend that they want to secure the border, but they never get around to doing it. And this is a kind of a never-ending do loop where they just keep ratcheting it up. And when you combine it with the under the guise of woke ideology, anti-whiteness, anti-racism, white fragility, they've created this cottage industry where it's politically correct to be anti-white and defensible and somehow not racism, because they'll change even the definition of racism. But I mean, I saw a viral clip like 2 or 3 days ago that you were in when you were on one of these college campuses, where one of the students just outwardly admitted that he's excited that all of the illegals are going to come here and vote us out of power. So they say it out in the open. And then when you point at it and say, that's not right, that's wrong, well, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, this is not the purpose of our policy, and by the way, what you're doing is racist, they turn around and say that, ooh, great replacement theory, you're basically Nick Fuentes or whatever, one of these people on the alt-right, and they'll accuse you of all of these evil racist ideologies. And that just has nothing to do with it. But then, you know, they have used that for far too long as a moral shield. And I'm frankly sick of it. And I think so are most Americans. And so this is one of the reasons I want to write this paper, was let's touch that third rail. Let's run into oncoming traffic and let's force a conversation on this, because it's not racist. Our views are morally correct. They jive with longstanding principles of citizenship and the proper role of immigration policy in the United States. It's just good governance. And what the left is doing is racist. It is an abuse of public policy to garner partisan political gain. And they admit it all over the country, all the time. They've been admitting it for 20 years. And we're just supposed to sit back and pretend that the emperor has no clothes on.
All right. I need to tell you guys about Strong Cell. It's amazing. With nearly 1 million units bought by you, it is more clear than ever that Strong Cell works. It works to combat fatigue, brain fog, joint pain, skin issues, and constant sickness. I've been taking it personally for over a year now, and it's changed my life. I take it in the morning with breakfast, and it helps me with natural energy, so I don't have that afternoon crash. And it gives me the clarity of mind to do all that I do every day, which is a lot. If you're tired of feeling tired, struggling with memory, or constantly getting sick, then you have to give Strong Cell a try. I love this product because it has NAD. By the way, fact check me on this. Go do your own research on NADH, especially if it's mixed with CoQ10 and marine collagen. Strong Cell uses a proprietary delivery of NADH to make sure it goes straight to your cells to help your mitochondria. And since there are cells in every area of your body, then healthier cells equals a healthier you. The amount of people that use Strong Cell now, thanks to us, is remarkable. Over 1 million units sold. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Check it out. Fact check me. Oh, Charlie's just selling me a product. Okay, maybe you don't want more mental acuity. People say, Charlie, how do you do what you do? Maybe it's the NAD that I take. It's changed the lives of many Kirk listeners. Visit strongcell.com/Charlie and use my discount code Charlie to get 20% off your order. This is an emerging body of work and science that is showing that NAD and NADH really might be what your body needs in this contaminated, polluted, and poisoned world. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use special discount code Charlie at checkout to get a special 20% off just for Kirk listeners. Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out right now. This is Cut 73 here, and I want to play a couple pieces of tape here because you mentioned them. Cut 73 is the Castro brothers. This is one of the most important pieces of tape. Remember, at the time or soon after, one of the Castro brothers went on to be the keynote speaker at the Democrat convention. He went to go on to be a DNC, the head of the DNC or a co-chair of it. One of them served in the Obama administration. They've really kind of gone along the way. They've kind of disappeared. But the Castro brothers were really the ascendant Obama 2.0 Hispanic wrinkle of how they were trying to psyop the country into this Marxist direction. Here they are on CBS Face the Nation telling you that as white people are replaced, the country will become more Democrat. And you will be calling the electoral votes for Texas because Texas becomes less white. Play cut 73.
Texas is a very, very Republican state. But some people say the demographics are changing and the demographics alone will make that it won't be so Republican next time around.
In a couple of presidential cycles, you'll be on election night. You'll be announcing that we're calling the 38 electoral votes of Texas for the Democratic nominee for president. It's changing. It's going to become a purple state and then a blue state because of the demographics, because of the population growth of folks from outside of Texas.
Oh, no, I think that's right. But it's not going to happen on its own. The demographics are changing, but it's going to take a lot of work from Democrats to lay the infrastructure for change. So we're very busy working on that now.
Oh, the infrastructure for change. Does that include no border for the country?
That's right. And so their defense of this will just be, well, this is, you know, this is just people who live here. There's different birth rates and we're analyzing the demographics. But this, the same people are pushing anti-whiteness and white fragility. And then, you know, you've got Politico in a piece, I think, in 2013, admitting that the Gang of Eight amnesty that would legalize 11 million voters would be a boon for electoral success for Democrats. They all know what they're doing. The smart political operatives on the left are careful, but this is 100% their effort. They want to bring across our border a political electorate that will be favorable to their cultural Marxism, and largely because a lot of these people coming here come from, you know, Marxist countries, and they like the idea of government providing benefits, and the left will be Santa Claus, and they'll want to give certain groups everything and buy off certain amount percentages of the electorate to get to where they want. And they admit it. They just admit this. And again, there's nothing wrong with, and I think that people on the right need to be increasingly courageous in just saying that that's wrong. That is racist. There's a progressive journal called Race Traitor, and if you go read some of their stuff out there, it's just complete anti-white racism. They don't even try to hide it. And you know, there's college professors from, all over the country. But we've got a good quote in our paper where they talk about it's not enough just to deconstruct the white race. We have to destroy the white race. These are the very people who push all of the open borders policies and say that anyone who wants to secure the border is a racist. So, yep. You know, the game is up. We know what they're doing.
And look, they've hated white people for a long time. And now it's fashionable and acceptable. But it's finally coming to a surface because they've looped Jews into white people. And all of a sudden people say, oh, my goodness, why do you hate Jews so much? Well, because Jews are considered white people and they've been hating white people for well over a decade. I want to play this piece of tape here. There's a couple. First, I want to play the campus interaction that you mentioned previously. And this is with a young man at University of Utah. It's a long conversation. You see the YouTube lefties, they say, oh, this guy was trolling Charlie. No, no, if you watch, he was very serious repeatedly after question and question. They're backpedaling because this has 6 million views on TikTok, has like 4 million views on Instagram, because it just strikes a chord. You're not supposed to say the quiet part out loud, bro. Play cut 74.
How many illegals are coming across the border every day?
A lot.
So about 10 to 15,000 a day. Do you think Joe Biden...
And they're all going
to
vote Dem.
You're okay. Can you say that again?
The illegals? Well, illegals. Yeah, they're coming here. They're going to vote Democrat, and we're going to win.
Do you believe in borders?
I believe that... No borders, no. One world government.
So... they said the quiet part out loud. Wade Miller.
You're absolutely right. And there's a systemic misunderstanding of ethnicity in this country. Ethnicity has nothing to do with skin color. It has everything to do with the culture of the group that you're in. That's your ethnic group. And it doesn't matter if you're Black, Hispanic, Asian. If you wake up on Sunday, you love football. You love the founding of the United States of America. You get goosebumps when they play the Star Spangled Banner. You believe in due process, the Second Amendment, freedom of speech. You're my people. You're in my group. I don't care what your skin color is. That is what the left largely is attempting to do. They're trying to replace that culture of the group that I just described with a culture that does not understand any of those things, has no real incentive or intent to assimilate to that worldview and ethnicity, and they want to replace it. And they feel like if they do this in large enough numbers, no type of actual assimilation process will occur. This is their end game. Now, there is an element on the left that it is inherently racial for them, that they are inherently anti-white, and there is that too. But there's also a faction on the left that they don't really care. They just want ethnically not American people, which is to say nothing about race, which is to say people who just don't understand the American founding, aren't loyal to it, have no real incentive to assimilate to it. They want those people here because they see that as a boon to them electorally as they try to implement their cultural Marxist agenda over the next decade.
Let's play another piece of tape here. It's a lesser known one, but it's very important. Joe Biden. It is Joe Biden. What is the clip here? Do we have it? What's the number? Joe Biden next to Alejandro Mayorkas. I believe this is why he's still vice president, bragging about the great replacement, that it is happening in real time. Play cut 75.
And the wave still continues. It's not going to stop, nor should we want it to stop. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I think we can be most proud of. So there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, we'll be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
Wade Miller.
I mean, he said the whole thing right there. He said that is a positive development. I do not care about the racial makeup of the United States of America. I care about the people in it and the culture that they adhere to. As long as that's fine, the racial makeup makes no difference at all. But Joe Biden embraced the inherently racist viewpoint of the left, which is a racialized viewpoint of how immigration policy should be structured for the end game of replacing the current population of the United States that adheres to the founding principles and the right of center worldview. And that we have to destroy that essentially is what he's saying. And he wants to use immigration policy as a cudgel to achieve that. That's the baseline purpose of his open borders policies.
Wade Miller, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.